There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 listeners.
This is really geek. This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geek. You know, we did so many Dragon Con podcasts that now we need to do, another Dragon Con podcast. Blame Serve.
You've gotten addicted.
Blame Serve. So, joining me on this lovely evening is... Well, Lee, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing fine. I've finally...
I have caught up on my sleep and everything else.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Speaking of sleep... Wait, we were talking to Lee. Then...
Oh, hold on. Wait, 1 second there. Hold on.
And also joining me on this call is...
Two things.
Yes, Lee.
That's all I want. Thank you. Quit laughing at me, sir.
Well, we might as well say sir. Sir, how you doing, sir?
He's trying to hold it in and he can't.
Sir,
I was trying to hold something else in and couldn't. It's so sad. Everybody's like, oh, sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Also, from the Great White North, just south of Lee is Rocks. Yes, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville. Well,
the Great White North.
We're upstate from you guys, so it's north of you.
So, according to my geography from middle school, that makes Lee in the middle of the Arctic Circle.
That's right.
Actually, isn't the Arctic on the southern?
That's Antarctica.
Antarctica. Okay.
You're right. It's hard.
I have no idea.
You're good.
I do know this because my daughter tells me all the time, polar bears do not eat penguins. That's all I know.
They eat seals.
She's a smart child, your child.
Yes. I don't know where she gets it from.
We'll
anyway.
See, we'll see you on that. Are you smarter than
her mother?
Fifth grade.
Yeah, I met Must Mrs. Be. Booty Man. That's where it's at.
It must be. All right, so here, Serve called this meeting to order
There's club. No Mexican food. Why was the meeting called to order?
As the club secretary.
I'm the secretary? Lame.
I don't know. What do you want?
Hey,
you're scheduling.
I've been secretary before. It's not that bad. You just write notes, and you sound convincing. That's all.
I don't know. The sergeant of arms, because I've been watching, what's the name of that? Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
And, I mean... That's the dude that's responsible for shooting everybody and killing everyone.
Pretty much.
I don't know if you want to be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guy that winds up in jail when all the crap goes down.
Usually.
Anyway, so we wanted to talk about Dragon Con and our experiences at Dragon Con. And why don't we kick it off with a Serve who had an actual addition to his Dragon Con brush with celebrity, as I seem to recall.
That's true. That's true. Actually... Just to make sure that you understand, I had two additional brushes with celebrity-ishness. Celebriosity.
Breathe in, breathe out, Serve.
It's a lot harder sometimes than you think.
Sobriety? You had a brush with sobriety?
No. So,
don't worry, that won't be happening anytime soon.
No. That's foolish talk. So I decided maybe I want to get away from the con for a little bit, just kind of need to remove myself from this, what I would guess is at least 60,000 people.
48.
I thought it was 46.
What?
Official number was 48.
Well, I saw on the thing that he released to the Atlanta Times Journal thing in response, it said 46, I thought.
Was it 40? Okay, 46. Sorry. 46.
But really, it's like 90. So, anyway, moving on. Views of this, the views of this podcast are not necessarily the views of Lee.
Or Dragon Con.
Or Dragon Con. That goes without saying. Anyway, go on, sir.
All right, so I decide where's the only place in the Marriott that you can actually get away from people during con. So I decide to go to the fitness room. And I'm on the treadmill, doing a little jogging, a little running. And I've been on the treadmill, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes or so, and just kind of plodding along, looking out the window, looking at the little sky bridge over to the Hilton. See, you know, next to me, two or three, I guess it's two treadmills over. Someone gets on the treadmill. I look over there. It's the Incredible Hulk. That's right. Lou Ferrigno.
Yeah, okay. Thanks for clarifying, because at Dragon Con, it could have literally been someone dressed up as the Incredible Hulk.
Right.
Which would have been funny.
But it was actually Lou Ferrigno, so, you know, we kind of gave the guy nod to each other. And how you doing?
Hey, how's it going? Did he hear you? Did he hear you say?
He did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He said
you must have been on the right side of this.
Exactly. Oh, that's so bad. So bad.
That is very bad. He's a very nice guy.
He really is.
Is he?
I saw him at breakfast.
I've heard various stories about him that he's not a nice guy and that he is a nice guy, so I've never really known.
You need to run with him to get to know him.
Yes, as you did. How many miles did you do with him?
Run from him.
How many miles did you do with him, sir?
I think I probably had like one more mile left, so I've officially run a mile with Lou Ferrigno.
Now, let me ask you this now.
Woohoo! Okay.
Did you step it up a little when he got there? When you noticed it was him?
No, you know, I didn't think it would be prudent to try and get into a pissing contest with Lou Ferrigno.
Did you go over and start lifting some weights? And go
right.
Yeah, how about that?
Push a little weight around. See if he's doing any curls. Say, you know, you can tighten up your form a little bit there, big guy.
Wow.
Is that the fast you can go? Is that the fastest you can go?
Is that all you can do, little man? Hello.
He's not little.
Thus the joke rocks.
Hold on. Here, wait. Say it again, sir.
Thus the joke rocks.
No, before that. The actual joke.
Okay. Hey, is that all the weight you can do there, little man? Thank you. Sometimes I didn't think that was necessary, but I guess I just need either John and the soundboard around with me all the time, or I need to carry a snare drum and a hi-hat.
All right, so now you said you had two brushes with celebrities.
That's true.
Okay.
So after working out, pushed a little weight with Lou Ferrigno.
you and your workout bud Lou. Yep.
We're in the gym doing a little iron pumping.
In other words, wait, what do you mean iron pumping? Just the blood that was going through your body has iron in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's where he found out he was. Never mind.
Frightening.
Where? Show us on the doll where he touched you, Jay.
This is the bathing suit area.
Oh my god. Okay.
Derailed. Again. All right. So the next day, I think it was the next day, I don't know, Saturday or Sunday, Shag and I and Bob and Dr. Jen are in the bar at the Hilton in the lobby. And we're just sitting around talking about the con, kind of like what we were doing. What we were hoping to do tonight. And Shag looks over and he's like, oh, dude, look, it's Martin Landau. And so everybody kind of shifts to look as he's coming our way.
Well, was that something you were interested in?
Nice. I like it. Great reference. Would that be something you'd be interested in? Like a Ramones movie? Anyway, enough Entourage.
Entourage, because we're like the only two people on this podcast that even get that reference.
The two people that still keep up with it. Well, it's gone now.
Yeah,
so
nobody has
gone.
To keep up
Thank
with it at
God.
All. Anyway, so it's Martin Landau.
Actually, it's not. That's the key to the story.
Aw.
Who is it?
It was Ed Begley Jr.
John laugh. Who was it?
It's Ernest... Borgnine.
Oh, wow.
And now, so how Ernest... the hell did you get Ernest Borgnine?
I know, how?
Mark Landau confused.
Well, Shank's going to blame it on the booze, even though he had like one pina colada or whatever girly drink he drinks. And so, no, he drinks Captain and Diet Coke.
Okay.
It's nice to say that he has it with Diet Coke. But anyway.
Yeah.
So he's, you know, Ernest Borgnine's coming our way. And I'm like, no, dude, that's Ernest Borgnine. And he hears me. So he kind of looks over at me and gives me the wink and the six shooter.
Very cool, man.
Cool.
Right. So.
So you
now in time, as I'm telling the story, of course, it's going to evolve and it's going to be, you know, so then Ernest Borgnine sat down with us and like way in the future, like when I'm living in the home and I'm talking to the other old people about crazy shit, it's going to be Ernest Borgnine was buying us drinks and just getting us shit faced and everything else. So it'll be fantastic.
I was having drinks with Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah,
twice.
Yeah.
Is that the guy that was
the seventh doctor
from Star Trek, right?
Doctor Who. The seventh doctor.
But Sylvester the Cat. Right. That's Tweety Bird's nemesis, right?
In fairness, Lee, pretty much everybody was drinking with Sylvester McCoy.
Much. I was not going to disagree with that statement. I'm just saying.
You were at the con.
He was everybody's
con, and he was.
That probably had a lot of fun, I think it was him.
Oh yeah,
I think he liked wherever he was at.
I actually
a great time over at the Villains Ball with him. He was great.
I got to see his the young lady that was helping him get around and everything on.
Oh, Angela.
Angela,
short hair.
Yeah, at the dead dog party, and she was just gushing about how nice he had been, and he just, so she was just gushing, and that had been her first time ever doing anything like that, and she just, couldn't stop talking about how nice he was, so yay. Well, a lot of the celebrities are very, very nice, I will say that. I there have only been very few that I'm like, I don't care if they ever come back, and no, I'm not going to talk about them on the podcast, but 99% of them are awesome. And they really are having the time of their lives. When you see them up on stage and they're doing that, that's not all. That is not an act. They're usually having the time of their lives.
Oh yeah.
And
Oh my gosh, this is funny.
Of my life. Okay, sorry.
You know how you go into the music pit area?
Oh, at the Marriott. Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason, I couldn't find. Maybe I just never was anywhere near it. I never saw any of the musicians this year for some reason.
You know what? Here's the thing, and I'm not going to point names and stuff, but I'll tell you the.
You shouldn't
the
point
one
names.
Group,
definitely no, never point names.
The one band.
How do you point a name?
I know.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
If you name the band and say something derogatory, but the one band that there's always a band member around is, I'm sorry, it's the Crooked Shadows.
Crew
Shadows, yeah, and they're great because I always get a hug from Rogue. Go ahead.
Are they actually in the pit? I mean, is that where all the bands are?
They have a booth set up there.
I've seen that booth. I didn't know. I thought that there was. I don't know. For some reason,
that's a band area. There are a couple of band areas. There's usually one over at the Hyatt at the Marriott. And then there's over at the Hyatt, usually there's an area where some of like the smaller, like individual people or small bands are playing right there.
Oh, that's the concourse concert, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, okay. Right. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Well, anyway, their band members are so great. And I know that they're from Florida. Okay. The funny thing is I didn't know some of them go to my Publix. I ran into the one chick, Johanna, who plays violin, like last night at Publix, and she was in the cleaning aisle, and I walked by, and she had on great makeup, you know, goth makeup, and she had a Crew Shadows hoodie and stuff, but I'm like, well, she could be a fan, so I circled back, and I'm like, are you a band member? And she's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, I said, I'm actually a fan. And, you know, and so we started chatting and stuff. And I said, oh, I saw you guys up at Dragon Con. And, you know, and she asked my name and stuff. So she was great. There was one band I really like. I didn't see one band member, you know, as I walked by. It was a shame. And I won't say who they are. But I liked them.
Let me ask you something.
Anyway.
Are the Chris Shadows popular outside of the con circuit?
Yes.
They are?
Yes. Their big thing is they're more popular overseas.
Well, I know that's they seem like they would be, too.
And they're a very, I don't want to say underground. I don't think that's the right term. But, I mean, they're that kind of club band. I mean, I don't think they feel like...
Well, look,
for Atlanta, I don't think they would.
They don't play locally here in Jacksonville or Gainesville. I don't think they do.
Well, look,
I think they're only underground during the day.
Well, that's true too. Because
I don't know. She was outside. It was like 6, so that's not really.
She
easy.
Burst into flames when she left. Or?
No, she didn't. She was very nice. She's the violin player. So.
Well, let me.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, that explains it.
It does.
Well,
yeah.
Jonathan Colton has mentioned this before, that, you know, outside of the geek nerddom world, no one really knows who he is.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's popular in the circles that we kind of run in. Right. But, you know, if I was to say that name to my wife or to, well, I was going to say any of my coworkers, but most of my coworkers are geeks. So, but I mean, if I was to ask, you know, any of the sales guys, they'd be like, I don't know who he is. Right. So, you know, that's why I was wondering about the Crew Shadows who, you know,
they're big. They have a big following in Germany of all places.
I would imagine so. They seem like a band that would have a big following in Germany.
Yes.
My,
but I mean, they're not death metal or anything.
Well, yeah, that's true, because my good friend, Chris, he's a lighting designer for Manowar, and they go on, you know, a lot of people know him here in the United States, but over in Germany, they're just huge, but they live
they're
here.
They're like Hasselhoff.
Yeah. They're a death metal band. They are a death metal band, Yeah, so I mean, that's why they kind of seem like the kind of band that would be hugely popular in Europe. Mm-hmm. Just because of the, you know, ambiance of them, if you will.
Right.
Yeah, somebody actually, I forget who it was. It was some celebrity that was talking about the reason why, one of the reasons why Germany has such a weird, I guess, avant-garde or love of the strange performance art, you know, and performers, is because, and this is, I know it kind of sounds brutal, but during, you know, World War II, they got rid of most of their entertainers, gypsies and things like that, in various methods and ways. So, you know, that there was this huge vacuum there after post-World War II where, you know, they were just craving for anything that wasn't, you know, that was art or whatnot. So, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
How did we get over on this topic?
Because we were talking about...
Because it's rocks.
Sorry. But I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool. Because, you know, the weird thing is her and I know this one person, my hairdresser. I'm like, oh, because my hairdresser mentioned it. I'm like, really? I thought they were in Gainesville. He's like, no, some of them are from Gainesville and some blah, blah, blah. She's from, like, Kansas or something. Anyway,
well, she's not in Kansas
in
anymore.
But it was sort of funny. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know Ronnie. And she's like, oh, that's so cool. You know, so it was kind of neat. It was like an extended of Dragon Con, like several weeks later. That's what I, you know.
Well, let me throw a question out to the group. How many days did it take until you felt normal again?
Oh, my God. It took days. And I'll tell you why. This is so funny. When you're doing panels and stuff and you're in that chat mode, you know what I'm talking about, Lee, right? You know, you're,
mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm.
I had this elderly lady come into the shop and she wanted invitations for her 70th birthday. She was throwing herself a 70th birthday in 2012. And I said, well, I hope we're all, and I said, oh, well, that's really great that you're doing this. I hope we're all still together at 2012. And she went, what? I'm like, oh, and I just went right for it. And I said, well, you know, the Mayan calendar ends. And she went, oh, and then I went, oh.
Well, and Google almost, get that, yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't end until the, it doesn't end until.
She had, her face just started like, oh. What? And then I went, oh, well, you're fine. I said, because it doesn't until December.
Fun fact.
And your birthday's in February.
fun fact, y'all. As soon as a serve turns 40, that's when the world's supposed to end.
That's right.
Literally. That's not a joke.
That's exactly right. My 40th birthday is the end of the world according to the Mayan calendar.
As we know it. Are you throwing a big blowout?
No.
I mean, I don't think you guys are getting what I'm saying here. His birthday,
yeah,
is I just
the end
that,
of the Mayan calendar.
Of course, it has to be somebody's birthday. But I mean, of all people, serve.
I know. We'll blame it on serve.
No, I'll blame sure.
But it took several days.
Don't blame it on serve. Blame it on mom and dad. Serve.
There you go.
If they would have only had sex
one day earlier.
Anyway, okay, so Lee, how long did it take you to get back in?
I didn't go back to work until Thursday. And honestly, Thursday and Friday, I was still so just kind of exhausted. I was doing the, okay, I've got to get these things done. And, you know, these are the things that came up while I was gone, and I had to get them done. I felt like I crashed again on Saturday. I just, again, was exhausted. And it's the same thing as Rock says. It's when you're in that con mode, and so you're chatting with people and all of that, it's also really funny because so many people I work with know I do this. And so they can't wait to ask me everything that happened. So I get to do the stories all the time. But then all of a sudden I realize they don't get that I think it was really cool that Colin Ferguson was talking to us and chatting with us and, you know, inviting us to dinner and things like that. And it was like, they're like, who's Colin Ferguson? You're like, okay, yeah, sorry. I'm in the wrong group. But what was really good is so many people came to the parade that from the Atlanta area, and they were just like, I could not believe how huge it was.
That
so,
was amazingly huge. It was amazing. And there were people up on the parking garages. Mm-hmm. That was so cool.
The parking garages, there were places where they were doing constructions down Peachtree. I was walking down the parade at 9 a.m., and it was already all the way down Peachtree, lined 3 deep.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw the Atlanta police afterwards. They were actually at the dead dog party, and he was like, next year we're going to have to get barriers because so many people are out in the streets.
Wow.
And that's actually a problem. So, this is getting to be big, and Atlanta loves it though. And they come out and they watch it and it goes really well. I think the other thing that got me this year, and we talked about it a little bit at the end of con, was this to me was my busiest. This was probably one of my top five cons, but also I felt like my busiest. I don't know why. I just felt constantly that I was on, and I was on for hours. I was working and doing stuff for hours longer than usual. I don't know. And my staff even said, yeah, you actually, even they said it, that it felt like more. We did more big panels.
Yeah, you had a lot of big panels. You had more big panels this year than I think you did last year.
Had at least 3 a day big panels. And So we had that with the X-Track, which is great. And it was great. I am not complaining about it, but it really was things that you're just like, wow. And then we did, you know, we did the, we did our morning wrap-ups, which were a lot of fun. And we did stuff at night with each other, and that was fun, too. And, yeah, so, I mean, it was great.
What? You did stuff at night with each other? What happened? And that was fun? What?
The fun stuff.
I'm hurt, John. I'm deeply hurt. You don't
know. The guns are
You're deeply hurt. The guns must have been doing it wrong.
What was that? What was the guns?
Guns are Yeah. with the Jonathan Coulton concert, and then the quiz show, and we, of course, the Neat Coffee Fun Fest, which was awesome because I had the best minion ever.
Yes.
Thank you.
And actually, if anybody got a picture of him rubbing my feet, I really want that because I'm going to make it late.
I've got video of it. Do you want the video?
I thought there was a picture on Unique Geek.
There probably is. By the way, folks, those of you that are listening, you can check out Shag, or I'm going to go with the Unique Geek Historian, who has posted both on Flickr and on the Unique Geek some 700 photos from DragonCon.
Real, I didn't look at all of them yet. And so wow,
is that frankly accumulative
700? No. That's just from
this
year.
This year? Wow. See, this is why I don't really take pictures anymore, because you can go to Flickr. 708
items total.
Frank,
yeah. That's just Shag. That's just Shag.
And frankly, you know what he did?
What?
He got rid of like 300 of them.
He what?
He got like rid of 300 of them because they just weren't good enough. He went through every single one of them and tagged them and did the whole, you know, it's ridiculous.
I'm sitting here like one's costume, general con and celebrities, and then just the Unique Geek.
But if you look at it too, he puts a title to every single one. He renames the files. He does the whole nine yards.
Do you know what's cool? I always see Shag and I see Mad Men always at the parade. Those two are stalwart guys that go to the parade, to watch the parade.
Yeah. How is Bob's off?
It's fine. It was a scratch. And Bob, Unique Geek Bob, this year brought his contacts that he bought either one or two cons ago that make his eyes look like those cat's eyes.
Oh, I got pictures of those.
Yeah. Well, yeah. He doesn't wear contacts, so putting contacts in and taking contacts out is a difficult task.
Yeah.
So he had a hard time getting them in, then he had a hard time getting them out, and he ended up scratching his eye.
Oh, man.
And so Dr. Jen and I went down to the what was that?
I'm not laughing because I just saw the picture on the Fun Fest.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, can I... Sorry, Bob is hurt, but it was the greatest thing my kid could ever see. I'm really sorry.
Well, see, you did some good, Bob.
I did. I told him that. I was like, dude, I am so sorry. I happen to know that it hurts when you scratch your eyeball. I happen to know that really well.
Really?
Really sorry, but...
Check the Unique Geek pictures from, what was it, 2009?
Yeah, 2009, I got a big old patch on my eye.
We have some pictures.
I know, and it was a white patch. Well, that would discern that it was, you know, I'm really
hurt. That was the one thing we told Bob. We're like, dude, I mean, if something's really bad with your eye and, like, you have to have it patched, I mean, what better place on earth? I mean, there's got to be – you couldn't find a place with a better selection of patches for your eye than Dragon Con.
That's right.
Well, maybe.
But then she would be. Then he would be cosplaying. Then there's the cosplay problem. Are you cosplaying or not?
Well, he. So, was he cosplaying when he had the contacts in?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess.
I mean, I don't know the difference. Then, I mean,
that's
a pretty
like half. We call that. We call that half dressing. It's like remember Lee, for years you'd have the guys in jeans and a robe.
Yep.
And they would have the stick. And a staff. So they were like modern hat. We called them half. My neighbors and I called that half dressing.
So how many small half dressing type things can you do before it becomes full on dressing? Like, because Bob also this year got fangs.
All right. Then he's creeping towards.
He's doing more and more with the.
Now, I don't believe that he wore the fangs at the same time as the contacts.
Oh, okay.
But he's now added another level or another possible dress-up scenario. He can
saying he's like True Blood, then he would be fully cosplaying.
Oh, well, he could just say I'm True Blood, because I'm just
from True Blood.
I'm just dressed as a normal guy with fangs.
Well, you know, as long as he's dressed as one of the vampires from True Blood, I'm okay with that. As long as he's not one of the vampires from Twilight.
No, I will say on the Unique Geek site with Bob, there are pictures of him with the teeth, but no eyes, with none of the contacts.
Yeah, see? Yeah. So it's not that he's he's expanding his ability, but he's not combining them. So.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. So cool.
So how many days did it take you, sir, to get him back?
I'm sorry, we're all trying to get to this answer.
Jesus. Well, I took Tuesday off, and then I was back to work on Wednesday when I remembered something that always happens after Dragon Con. Consistently after Dragon Con, it's like the world... It's like when you're watching a really nice HD LED TV, and then... You leave wherever you are and you go and turn on another TV and it's a big, clunky, old, not HD TV. Maybe it's black and white even. That's kind of the way everything feels for a couple days after Dragon Con. It's like all the color is kind of just muted and lessened. Either that or it's a flashback. So
that's right.
Let me go around the horn and ask what your favorite con memory is from this year. Let's start with you, sir. Besides working out with
me right away, didn't you?
Yeah. Besides starting out with working out with Lou.
Well, there's working out with Lou, and then there's getting the wink in the six shooter, you know, by Ernest Borgnine.
That's cool. That's cool.
That was pretty cool. But I mean, you know, aside from my continuing D-list celebrity resume, I'd have to say it's just the opportunity to hang out with all my friends at the same place at the same time, even though we had some missing thugs this year. No Raven Face this year.
No Scott.
No Ed.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No Ed.
No Ed, Unique Geek.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucked, but I'm hoping that Ed will be back next year, and Simon will certainly be back next year.
And Scott promised. Scott C. promised.
Yeah, Scott C. will be back for Need Coffee.
He's going to bring his grandma again, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
which is really the only reason why I want him there.
Yeah. Really cool, actually.
It is, man. She was not happy when Scott wouldn't let her go to the Knights Templar panel. She made him go to the... it was when Dana Snyder and Ken were trying to pick a logo for an hour.
Oh, yeah, I went to that.
And I missed the Knights Templar thing. I'm like, oh, see, you should have gone on your own there, Granny.
Yeah.
Man, brutal rough.
Granny.
Because I can't remember what her name is. So she's Gran.
Scott's grandma. That's her name.
I think
grandma.
Scott's grandmother.
I think I called her
Scott's grandma.
Yeah.
Hello, be polite.
It was polite. I told her exactly where the panel was.
Granny.
I tried to have her go and break and just leave Scott. Just go. And she did eventually. I never saw her after that. I'm like, Scott, where's your grandmother? She's around.
She did. Yeah. She's like, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Well, how about you, Rox? What was your favorite memory from this year's con?
Wow, I had so many. Let's see. I got a hug from Eddie McClintock.
Who's that?
He's
Warehouse 13.
Warehouse 13.
Oh, okay.
I actually had him come over to talk to me. It was funny.
I heard it on Weekend Jest, which I think is awesome. I think that's a great superpower, honestly. And Eddie is a great.
He's an awesome,
a really nice guy, and really, he's one of those who too is just having the time of his life at Dragon Con.
Yeah, I was thinking of this before we got on. It's like Serve said, it's seeing everybody back and stuff. And if anybody that had a really good synopsis of Dragon Con is actually William Shatner. I was watching the shit my captain says panel, and he's like, you know, because he's working on a documentary called Fans or something, and he doesn't know what type of title it's working. Anyways, like, you know, you guys people come to see each other. He goes, you know, you come to see us, the celebrities, but you know, you're also in, you know, seeing the other costume people, you know, even standing in lines and stuff becomes fun because you're talking mm-hmm. to people. I mean, it's hard to say, you know, what I like the best, because, you know, I try to take out as much. I've never had a disappointing Dragon Con.
Mm-mm.
No. So, I mean, they've all been fun, you know, sitting on panel with Lee. I was just glad that, like, the panels, you know, that were new, such as the Terry Pratchett ones, went off so well, you know, because, you know, we've been bugging.
Well, it wasn't just the new ones, but it was also the, I don't ever think a panel is a repeat, because you do something different every year, but even the ones that were not new had room full of people. I mean, John did something on Lost, which I did not think would have that many people, and my track room was packed.
Yeah.
Ours for the Warehouse 13 was packed.
It was good, yeah.
But Lee, let's be honest, they were all there to see Aaron and JJ.
No, see, but that was the thing last year, and it was, yeah, Aaron and JJ, and you.
I JJ mean, Abrams?
Yes, that may have been the mistake. That may have been, did you just put JJ, we'll be talking about Lost?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you want to pack that room? Hell, you'll pack main ballroom.
That's what you should do next year, Lee. Say, JJ. JJ Aaron. See, if you do JJ Aaron, they might misread it.
I'm sorry, what?
I know it was packed last year as well, but
you guys said it was packed last year because we had Paul Dini on it.
I never said that.
Well, somebody did. I think it might have been Aaron. And I said, you know what? Every time I do a Lost panel, every time that room is packed. There are other fandoms that don't get that packed. That room gets packed every time for Lost.
Well, and for the record.
Yeah.
It is the only panel for Lost, so therefore.
Well, but I've had more than one in other years, and yeah. That's, I think, the frustrating thing for me, and the challenging thing is it is difficult. It is difficult to get everything I want to get done, and you think, when you first see your grid and you go, oh my God, I'm never going to fill up 30-something hours of programming, and then you start doing it, and you're like, shit, I need more hours.
Are you going to let me ask this, if the shows such as Grimm and Once Upon a Time become popular, do those go under mm-hmm. you, or do they go under American Sci-Fi?
I get very confused. Once Upon a Time will probably go under American Sci-Fi. Grimm is the one I am not sure about. I'm trying to. I don't know.
I mean, you would get something like Haven, wouldn't you?
No, Haven, actually, we actually had a discussion about Haven. Would it be me or would it be American Sci-Fi? And it kind of, I think how we kind of just decided to break it was, okay, you get Haven, I get Warehouse 13.
It
wasn't really Warehouse 13.
I really want Warehouse. Okay.
Well, no, it kind of was like, you know, and you can only do so much on anything. You know, Alphas will be mine very much. But, you know, some of the other shows, who knows? It becomes very – it's difficult because the other thing is I would have thought Falling Skies was mine. Apocalypse thinks it's theirs. And, you know, it's one of those things you're like, yeah, okay, I can see both arguments on it.
Well, I would say that Aliens trumps it, doesn't it?
I hope, but I don't know. Grimm,
Want Noah Wiley.
Yes, she does.
At the con.
Really, I love the show. Actually, I would love Noah Wiley at the thing.
God,
all
please.
Right, Grimm, G-R-I-M-M, right? Is how it's... There it is.
Yeah, yeah, it's...
I'm finding.
Although, I mean, I guess it must go in.
Sylvester McCoy made the convention, just saying.
Yeah, I didn't hear of one bad guest. There wasn't anybody that they were not thrilled to see. And rooms were packed. I mean, just amazing.
Well, they had to be. Now, let me ask you this. Let me ask the group this. The changes that were made for nighttime security, better or worse?
Wonderful.
I had no problem with it.
I had a big problem one night getting Bob and I... were hanging out with Unique Geeks at the Hyatt Place, and we were coming over to the Marriott, and we were using the Skyway, and we got to the Marriott, and they said, you can't come in. And we're like, here's our badges, here's our room key. And they're like, you can't come in.
Oh.
Why were they saying you couldn't come in?
They said that they were closing the Skyway. And we're like, it's 3 a.m, but you're letting people in on one end, and then you're making us turn back around, even though I'm staying at this hotel, paying a lot of money to stay at this hotel.
Huh.
Hmm. That was at 3 a.m.?
That's kind of
weird. That was at 3 a.m., wasn't it? That was pretty late.
So I had a conversation that night with the night manager and then the next morning with the day desk manager, and Marriott was kind enough to make some compensation. So
that's good. What were you saying why you couldn't come in? They were saying it was just at capacity, or
no? They were saying, you know, that
we're closing these doors.
They're closed. Yeah, they're not. This isn't an entrance way. You can't use this.
You have to go around, like, right?
Yeah. And
really, but I thought with a key.
Yeah.
Now,
exactly.
Right. No. It's
stayed at the Marriott.
It's a different. Yeah. It's a different tact here. So what they're saying is that they're actually shutting down this entrance at this time. You've got to go back the other way around. Even though
but they're not closing off,
even though the door's
the
not closed
at the Hyatt,
right? Yeah.
So you can still walk down that hall to get there, and by the time you get there, you have to turn back around and go all the way back. Now the real rub is there were handicapped people.
Ooh.
So that meant you sent them all the way back, and then down that steep set of stairs from the Hyatt. Down those stairs,
right? Then you
the
have
street
to
the Marriott. Mm-hmm. That was bad.
Now the other thing is too, and Lee, I had mentioned this to you, and I thought that maybe this needed to be brought up to a higher power, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
We did have some people that arrived after registration closed, but had a 3-day pass.
Yeah.
But could not get into the convention because they missed registration. So, you know, my thought there was that their postcard should be good enough. But
and I think that is a question that we're going to have to do, because that is a question on that, because people, you can't, you know, we don't have 24-hour registration. So, yeah, I mean, it's something I've put in notes and already sent forward. So, yeah. I think I have to say, honestly, though, I walked, and I'm sorry, sir, if you had that problem. I just don't understand it. You're the first person I've heard say that, too, because I've read some other ones and nobody else has put that down, which is really interesting.
Well, I think it just has to do with the time. So, I mean, I think
I
that
what time
how do you
was it? Yeah.
3 a.m.
3 a.m.
So
yeah, it's 24 hours. Yeah.
Right. But I think that what.
What day was it, though?
This has been Saturday, Sunday.
So Sunday at 3 a.m.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so between Sunday and Monday. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
No,
I mean,
between Saturday and Sunday.
Between Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, okay. So that would
so
be
the con is in full force.
Time. Yeah, it's in full force.
Yeah, that's in full force. Interesting. I think I got to say, though, I, between walking through all the hotels, I honestly, it was easier to get around this year, especially at 9 and 10 o'clock and 1 o'clock at night. I felt a difference. I mean, I felt a difference after the Fun Fest. I felt a difference after the JoCo show. I felt a difference even on Sunday. I could get from point A to point B after when I was moving around after the quiz show. I noticed it by them checking it.
Oh, yeah. Like for years, when I take my bike, I couldn't even bring it in. I would have to, if I knew I was going to go out, I'd have to leave it in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just leave it, because there's absolutely no way. This time, oddly enough, I'm so happy with the way the Hyatt is. Hyatt had really good security force out that. On Thursday, I stopped by, you know, the dinner with Widge and, you know, Ken's entourage. So I locked my bike out in front of the – it was in the lobby, but it was out in front of the restaurant. And I walked in, and apparently the bike was causing a traffic jam. And security was nice enough because it was locked up. I locked it up in itself. So, you know, it's a massive lock. So they put it in storage for me. And I thanked him for it. And it was, you know, it was like, okay, they're looking out for, you know, people's belongings and stuff. So I think they did a great job. So, and I didn't get hassled because Lord knows I've taken this bike to other hotels and other cities and stuff. You get some jackass doorman that wants to be an idiot about it. So it's like you're paying a lot of money staying at a hotel, you know, and it's like, no, I can bring it in. A, it's not a full size, you know, so, you know.
Hey, so, John.
My understanding was the hotels did as much, if not business, than they did last year, even with the smaller crowds.
They did, because that was going to be my next question.
The bars and the restaurants did as much, if not more, business than.
Oh, they were just as packed. Yeah,
they were just. I mean, they were, because the issue there was you could get a drink. Had to wait to get a drink. Last year, I know there were people who said I waited an hour and never got a drink. Yep. I mean, you might. Waiting 10, 15 minutes because it was heavy.
Let's say you have five bartenders. They're still only going to move just as fast, and they're constantly going to keep.
Exactly it. Yeah, and you can only have so many behind a bar. That's one of the other things too. So I don't know. I gotta say though, registration just stunned the hell out of me.
Oh my God! Okay, I was in line for registration because I always buy a ticket just because. I got in line after breakfast on Thursday around 8:30. Now here's the thing: I actually rode my bike down at 7, and I'm like, "There's no one here. I'm gonna go get breakfast." So I could have been like the first person in line if I wanted to do that, but I wanted to get something to eat. So even at 8:15 or so, I was not even like halfway down. So I was sort of still up to the thing. So the cool thing is everyone's cool in the line. The biggest thing is the big thing that we had to wait on was actually going through the cattle line. So doors opened up at 10. The doors opened up at 10. I was done at 10:30. And the cool thing is here's your bat, you know, here's your postcard. It took less than 30 seconds. You know, for them to scan it and print it.
I was stunned, and actually it was really funny because I was there for a news interview on Friday morning, which is why I wasn't, unfortunately, at our little thing, and because the time kept getting changed around. And I was there when they opened the door, and that line did not stop moving because they kept saying, oh, we got to stop now. And they were like, until we tell you to stop, don't stop. And they and it was all the way around the Sheraton like it has been in the past. Mm-hmm. On Friday morning at, I don't know what time it was, 8:30, whatever time they opened. Literally, it never stopped moving. By nine, I took actually a Twitter picture, and it was empty. There was nobody in line. There was no huge backup at that. The only time they had a backup, and the system did crash on Thursday mid-afternoon, around 2 or 3 o'clock, it did crash. I actually got a little bit of a background on it. What happened was there was some kind of a little thing in the system that said, okay, there was like all of a sudden it got to this number and it went, yeah, we don't want to do any more right now. They kept seeing that it was slowing down and they got to this like magic number. I want to say they said it was like 1200 or 1400 and all of a sudden it went, yeah, all done now. And so they basically had to go in and figure out whatever that bug was, reboot it and then get it running again. And even people in that group were only there about 2 hours. So I that was amazing to see how well that went. I just could not believe it. And it just, wow. I was very nervous. It was going to go boom. And if that's all that went boom, hats off to John and Troy and their team because they were just.
Oh, yeah. Because here's the cool thing is about Dragon Con, out of any of it, because I've gone to Comic Con and their registration. I'm like, when I took my sisters and her kids to New York Comic Con last year, it was like I really was waiting for a massive crowd for Saturday, and there was like nobody at registration. I'm like, okay, this is weird. And I gave him my postcard. It's like, here you go, here's your badge. But it doesn't have like Dragon Con. They don't print out your little what you want to be called. So it doesn't have, Corporate Con does not have that special touch, you know, of here's the 25-year little, you know, luggage tag, and here's your, you know, pretty much your personalized Dragon Con ticket. You know, it just doesn't do that. So I was really happy that they kept that, even doing it such a streamlined way for registration this year. I like that, you know, because people like to be called, you know, by their internet name and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Serv, how about you? What did you? I didn't know how you guys went through.
We have backdoor.
Oh, you do. Okay, you guys are.
Well, but you went with Dr. Jen went though, right?
Yeah, and I was with her in the St. Pete Geeks, and they were there in line at, I guess, hour before it opened, and like you said, you know, just moved the whole time.
I mean, were they there? What's Thursday? Thursday they got.
Got
did they do
Thursday? Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay, I know, but they were in line Thursday as well.
Right.
Okay. So and I may have seen them. Maybe.
Maybe.
Unless they were for yeah. All right.
And then. When Bob got there on, I guess it was Friday.
Yeah. He actually got caught in the shutdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got stuck in the shutdown, but you know, as I was watching, Twitter, pretty much everyone kept saying that there's like a couple that were chuckling that we haven't stopped actually moving yet.
Yeah.
Right.
So they were just constantly
yes.
moving.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really cool.
Actually,
they did.
I
was just gonna say they did have turnstiles that they had made Disney look like amateur hour.
Yeah,
I mean
the big bays inside.
Yeah, it's like wow, that's a lot of turnstiles. You guys must have gotten in touch with Disney or something. So.
Oh yeah,
That's actually been the one. The big complaint is if it's gonna run that fast, we can turn down some of the maze now. So a part of the reason they do the maze is so people don't run and all of that kind of stuff. So
sure.
Well, and
yeah.
Also,
oh, I actually had my bike through the maze, and nobody told me to like don't do that. So
well, also I would imagine it's to allow more room inside the building because. I mean, really, you want to get as many people inside the building because it is hot in Atlanta at that time of year.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad, actually, this year as far as temperatures go.
Well, I was going to ask, John, I don't think you ever said what your moment of con was, what your prize moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was seeing all of my beautiful friends.
He's such a liar.
I don't know. I don't have a.
You know what's funny is that it actually is a part of what
absolutely
I
it really is
love about it,
is.
It. It really is. I mean it.
Now it answer was, the question, John.
Yeah, what was your biggest one?
Well, no, I really don't have.
Was it prolonging? You know, Shag seeing Sylvester McCoy.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, actually, that
you
was fun.
Kind of relish that, John, just a wee bit.
It was that. Yes, that was fun. I mean, I still
evil people.
It was it was fun just to go. Hey, you know who I'm sitting down with? You know, it's Sylvester McCoy. Who? He says he was a doctor or something. I don't know. I don't really care.
Did you like? Is he the one that had the big scarf thing, or did you just messing with Shaq?
Well, you know the. As we all know, it's well documented that I don't watch Doctor Who, and in fact, it is also documented that I tried to watch Doctor Who after all of this brouhaha and gave up on it again.
Yes, absolutely.
I
think we've all done that.
I was like, no. Oh yeah, Matt Smith is great. It's wonderful. Like, yes, no, it's not.
Well, we'll have this conversation tomorrow. I'm not thrilled with this season right now. So, yeah.
I was talking
about the start of Matt Smith's thing. I watched the first four episodes and just was not impressed.
And see, I was the same way. I remember Tom Baker, Doctor Who, and thinking how crappy that was. And everybody's like, well, you need to give it a new try. You know, Matt Smith's doing a good job, and the guy before him was good, too. And I'm like, all right, I'll watch one episode. And I watched it, and everybody's like, oh, my God, you watched the worst episode in 3 years. I'm like, it's like saying that you have the lightest case of herpes, you know?
Wow. I like that.
Yeah, so that was fun. I don't know. I still felt like I was running around a bit too much.
You were. You need to tell people no, and we can accept that.
Yes,
I can't tell people no. It's not my nature.
Then you're gonna do what somebody else said they're gonna do is they're gonna put a picture of me up, and you can put a picture of Rocks up for you with a little cartoon bubble over our heads going no, no.
I like helping people.
I actually had to do it to a director because I just had like no food that day, and I'm like, I'm gonna go have dinner with Rob.
My best story on this is the author Kevin J. Anderson, who literally came in my room, and he's already a very pale man, and he was ungodly pale. And he came in and he
must have read some of that shit he read for Star Wars. Because
you know, the thing is he's very personable. Even though his writing is not great, he's very personable.
Okay, I'll give you that.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to back away from that part. But he had basically booked himself since 10 a.m. and it was like 7 p.m. He had not had a break. And it was like, okay, well, I'm going to go get you a sandwich. He's like, oh, no, I can't eat a sandwich in front of people. Like, yeah, you're going to eat a sandwich. So, yes. Yes. Sometimes you just have to say, yeah, no, you got to take a break. Because if you don't do that, you will push yourself. There's so much to do. There's so many people to see. And I'm not good at it.
I keep saying, you know, if that downtime, I made sure I had, instead of, because I do my Atlanta running around on Wednesday, and Thursday is seeing friends before the con, I actually utilized Dragon Con TV. I really did. Those people that would air the live panels, even if it wasn't a panel I was not interested in, such as Being Human, they were great. Mm-hmm. They were really, you know, and because the thing is if you're going to go to that panel, you know it's going to be packed anyway. So why not do it in the comfort of your own room, half naked? There you go.
There you go.
Just saying. And, you know, a lot of the stuff was live, and they rebroadcasted the parade. Which I've never watched.
That's how I see the parade every year, other than, you know, getting them all lined up. Yeah.
So.
I think the one thing that's always great, too, is Rocks, you kind of said it, and I think we've all touched on it, is that it's kind of like it's like the family reunion you want to go to.
Mm-hmm.
I see people that I only really see once a year, but I know them and I see them every year. And every year they're like, they'll see my kid and they'll just be like, no. I'm like, yeah, 12 now. Or I see their kids and I'm like, no, little tank. No, not anymore. So you see things like that, or you see people and you get to chat and see where they are. And it's good to see them. And it's also where I get a lot of recommendations on things I should be watching or doing or things like that.
It's even cool when, you know, you've done enough fan panels and stuff that people recognize you. Out throughout the con, and I'll stop and chat with people.
Well, you know? here's the only downside of that for me. Well,
hold on one second, please. This is the same. Rox is saying she'll just stop at the con and chat with people after the Weekend Justice that we recorded.
Yeah, where she
says that she just walks
purpose.
Up to
yeah,
random strangers like and tries to fool them into thinking they know her.
Know her, yeah.
So. No shit, you'll talk to random strangers, Rocks.
Well, see, now I will talk to random strangers. I have no problem doing that. That's kind of a part of the marketing for me for con, or marketing my track or whatever. But what's really funny for me is I do think, because people, it's not just like you're going up to a random stranger going, oh, hey, how are you? and screwing with them, which people do, rocks. You would be that person because I have Lee written on my Starbucks mug. You'd be like chatting with me and be like, Lee, how you doing? And I'd be sitting here racking my brain. But really bad at Dragon Con is, and some people could tell because I'd get this look on my face like, oh my God, I should know your name. And they're like, no, you don't know my name. I just saw you at. And I'm like, oh, thank you for telling me that, because otherwise I would have been sitting here thinking I was the rudest person ever. Because people would be like, hey, Lee, how are you? And I'm like, I'm doing great. Hi. They're like, no, it's okay. I know you because when you were introducing the Supernatural, or you were doing this or that or the other. So I was like, thank you. Okay. Because, yeah, that gets like, I'm always so worried I'm like forgetting somebody I shouldn't, which is worrisome.
I just imagine everyone listening to Speak Injustice. That's the way I see it.
I was amazed. John, I'll tell you very honestly, the guy who just grabbed my arm and said, you do a podcast. I'm like, oh my, yeah, maybe. And he had actually heard John and I on the 50 days. And then he got really excited because I was like, yeah, John's here too. And he's like, where? And I was like, he's over there. That's the guy who's filming. And he was like, oh, that's John? I'm like, mm-hmm.
It was John. He's really here as he's dressed up as an AV nerd.
And I was just like,
his costume.
I've never seen anybody get that excited over meeting John and I, but that's kind of awesome. Thanks, dude. And then he heard my voice and he bopped in. Yeah.
You know, there was one time I actually stayed till Tuesday, and that was actually kind of depressing.
Is that the band?
No. But I actually stayed at the convention an extra day, you know, and left on Tuesday. Monday night, there was like no one to play with.
Yeah, was, I can see how that would be kind of.
It was like, wow, there's no one here. You know, you go down to the lobby and there's like no one. It's like, wow. At least with coming in, when you're coming in on a Wednesday, you start seeing seeing the people and stuff. You know, so, but yeah, that Monday, well, it's kind of depressing.
It was funny on Monday night when we were leaving, because we were leaving probably around 8:30, 9 o'clock, and my son was looking around going, there's carpet on the floor. There's so many people in here. You're just having way too much fun with this. And, you know, and then he was like, look, it'll echo when he's running up and down the little habit trails and stuff. And so I'm like, yes, it does. When there are not a gajillion people in here, yes, it will echo.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Jen and I were there on Wednesday, and I mean I could see there would be a difference between Wednesday and Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday before con, things are starting to heat up, you know, you've got some anticipation within you. Mm-hmm. So, but then Tuesday, first of all, you're probably exhausted, and secondly, everybody's gone. You know, it's like going from summer to school's back in, but for whatever reason, you didn't go to school.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's really weird, too, because I used to actually do a work thing that I would be down there actually right before Dragon Con. And I did it for like 3 years in a row because there was a convention that I had to go to. And it would be so weird to be at that convention where there were about maybe 2,000 people. And people would be like, oh, wow, it's a lot of people. And I'd be going, you know, wait a day. ain't seen Jack.
Kim said that because Kim said that she was speaking at something. And she was in like one of the centennials for something. And she was on a dais. And she's like, wow, I'm in Centennial 3 or whatever. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little different because you're just like, wow, that's a lot. And it's always fun too when they would do that convention because it would end like on Thursday during the right in the mornings, and people would start getting in and doing their costumes, and you'd all of a sudden see these people faces like, why is that person wearing cat ears and a tail and thigh high boots? And you'd just be like, it's a con, man.
It's gone.
We're already here now. We're taking it.
And a lot of the, you know, you can see the progression even from the hotel staff, because I remember that, like this year, the Hilton, they had a lot of their personnel. They decided, oh, we're going to dress up too. And they dressed up as the Wizard of Oz people. And that was really fun. That was really kind of cool. Neat. Yeah. So
Well, I've also found some new hidden places to go when you need some quiet time and kind of get away from the con. Yeah, found a couple of hidden places too. Yeah. First of all, Trader Vic's, any night other than Thursday. Yes. Freaking ghost town.
Even like Friday?
Yep.
Friday night? Really?
Friday, Sunday. Yeah, just a ghost town.
Wow.
Just a ghost town. Any of the nicer restaurants at any of the hotels, even if all you want to do is go like have a drink and an appetizer, you can get up there.
A good restaurant is the Hyatt's, the Venezia or whatever, the one below. Pardon?
Avanzari.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
That's very nice, and you can always get a seat in there, and the prices are comparable to anything else, and they'll probably stay open because. I'll tell you, the one downside to trying to eat Sunday night is a lot of the places along Peachtree, they switch to a Labor Day menu, so it's limited, and then they close. We were going to go to the fish place, and they were not open, so we went to the Irish pub place.
Raised on the River wasn't open? Huh, interesting.
Yeah, they weren't on. They were closed. Of course, it was like 10 o'clock, but they were closed. So we should have gone to the Hyatt. But anyway, it was all right. They had the fried pickles.
And Serve, I found a really nice place if you ever want to take somebody on a date and just spend a lot of coin. I found a really great place to
coin.
Well, we Dr. Jen and I went to Morton's.
Oh,
Morton's
is
good.
Love that restaurant. Love it right there.
It was very good. It was very nice.
Very nice.
How much per person is that about?
Well, we got a bottle of wine and we got appetizers. We like did it up, so it was a multi-$100 dinner.
Now, was this pre or post Monkey Tail?
Oh, it was definitely pre.
Okay. She wouldn't be seen anywhere with you.
Did you guys do that Wednesday night or Thursday night?
We did that Thursday night.
Thursday night, yeah. My husband and I went out to Terrace on Peachtree on Thursday night and had a really nice dinner together. Yeah, it was very nice. It's just a couple of blocks up. So.
Anywhere else anybody ate that was fantastic?
I can't say fantastic, but I'll give you a disappointment.
Oh. Okay.
I think Mama Nympha's was downhill this year.
Yeah, I did too.
It wasn't as good this year. No, it wasn't.
It also seemed like the menu shrunk.
It did. They took a lot of stuff off, but that makes sense. That makes sense during the con. Instead of offering 50 things, offer 20 things.
And get them out fast.
And do them fast, right.
But really, seriously, it is Mexican.
That was part
of
the charm.
It's,
I know.
It's beef, cheese, tortilla.
Beans.
I mean, it's the same stuff, just ordered differently.
Yeah. Right. Put that on a flour tortilla, put this one in a corn tortilla.
Yeah, I mean, so. But yeah, you're right. Mama Ninfa's did kind of seem like it took a downturn.
Yeah, Havali's was good. I went to the Brit Track dinner on Thursday night, and because of the crowd that they had, they made up a buffet for the Brit Track people, and it was really good. So
Havali,
I think. Yeah.
What is it?
It's an Indian restaurant. It's behind the Westin. It's really good. Mm. I forgot what that street is. It's a weird. It's off of Baker, I think.
Yeah, it's off of Baker. It's near the Apparel Mart kind of area.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Just a couple of blocks away. And then, John, you did have chicken and waffles one night, which amazed me that you guys got in and out as fast as you did.
Where did you go?
We went to Gladys Knight's chicken and waffles.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, here's a fun story.
Uh-oh.
So, I got a call from my credit card company this week, and apparently my card was skimmed.
Oh,
yeah, because it's been appearing in Delaware, and Pennsylvania, purchasing groceries and gas. And I'm like, I'm nowhere near there. And the lady's like, it says the card is physically there. So it had to have been skimmed. So
what does that mean?
Okay, so what it means is, you know, there's these machines that you can, basically they're card readers, but they swipe and they actually take the magnetic data so they can reproduce the magnetic data. Yeah. So then you can actually create a dummy plastic with legitimate data on it. And see, that's how they know that whether the card's there or not. Because you could type in the numbers, right? But then, but doesn't have all the encryption that the magnetic key, the magnetic stripe does. And so, it's popular in, it happens a lot in restaurants, in various other locations where, you swipe it through one machine and go, you know, you'll have it like, in your pocket. You can swipe it and just saves there in your memory. And then, you know, swipe the card as a regular transaction. So waiters have been known to do that a lot. But anyway, the point is that the only unusual, sometimes actually there've been some places that have caught people who have, you can put, these devices over the top of like a regular card reader.
Where you normally swipe your own.
Right. And so, but you don't realize it and you're actually encrypting it, you're also passing information to them as well. So they, and then in the middle of the night, they'll come back and they'll take that device off there, and now they have all these credit card numbers. But the only unusual place that we've been recently was
Atlanta. Be Dragon Con.
Yes. So that's a fun story.
That sucks.
Well, it's okay because they caught it. They knew that. I was like, wait, this is weird. Why is he in St. Petersburg and in Delaware at the same time?
Oh. And in the same card, yeah, that's problematic. Yeah.
Right, so they we got stopped, but you know that's in, you know, as I said to Sonny, I only used the card in a couple of places that would have been considered sketchy. Unfortunately, two of those places happen to be the dealer's room.
oh wow!
So
you know, I didn't even get down there.
Really?
Didn't even get down there. Bye. My son spent a fortune in there, but I didn't even get down there. I have got to do better at scheduling my time next year, so help me.
That's part of my huge thing to do, because I don't pack enough shirts with me to get through the con.
You said that. I love that.
And this year, actually, I only bought one shirt this year because John actually gave me a bonus shirt, which is freaking awesome, by the way.
It is, isn't it?
It is.
Which it's very appropriate.
It is. It's got this dude running and wearing number 44, which is the number of chaos. If you listen to Utter and Total Chaos or Utter or Total Chaos, whichever you'd prefer, on Weekend Justice. But it says 1982 run for something, like maybe kids or Africa or something.
It's the joke is that it's not really...
Yeah, it's the run. I've seen the run for something.
Anything. And the colors?
Garnet and gold.
Yeah. All right.
Go Noles. Even though you lost this weekend.
Yeah. Well,
my heart. But
yeah, but let's be frank. I mean, it was against the number one team. And they did put up a decent fight.
Absolutely, they did. It was tied in the fourth quarter. Okay, that's probably way too much college football for one podcast.
No, let's do this tomorrow night on Weekend Justice, too, because then we can talk football and it'll freak everybody out.
No kidding.
Actually, if Doc called.
Yeah.
If Doc called, then we could talk it all night.
Rob does a little bit of football, too. So.
Yes, he does.
But I think he does more pro than college.
Well, on that bombshell, we do need to...
Not on that bombshell.
We do need to wrap it up for this episode of The Unique Geek. You can find our videos. I actually am gonna post some of the Trader Vic videos up on online once I get them all.
Oh no, you're not.
Edited together. You get to see myself, Bailey, and Serv rocking out to Here I Go Again on My Own.
Oh yeah, White Snake.
That was hysterical. So, the great 80s ballad night was hysterical. What was the one from St. Elmo's Fire?
Yeah, well,
Man in Motion.
Man in Motion.
Yes.
All he needs is a pair of wheels.
That dude.
And Jen and Shag were dancing to and me to Come Sail Away. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of interesting video from that particular evening that will be sliced together in a montage.
Singer, I swear to God, the singer had to have at one time been in a Dio cover band, or he's still in a Dio cover band because he sounds just like Brian James.
He's good.
Green metal.
He is. Does he have?
I got a hug from him too.
What is it? What is the name of that band?
The name of the band, he changes the name for each, like, when he does different things. So it is Tongo Heedy when they play at Trader Vic's. But he also does shows in Atlanta around the name King Size. His name is Big Mike Greer, and he has a Facebook page.
He's a cool guy. I hung out with him last year with Dana and Jay Ward. After his gig, it was kind of cool because I was hanging out with Brian, the other Irish guy that hangs out. So we were hanging out with Big Mike last year. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, the one on Facebook is under the name King Sized. He does two huge Elvis tributes every year, for one for Death Day and one for Birthday. King Sized.
Didn't Dana play with him at one point or something? For
I think knows Dana because he did something with Cartoon Network at some point.
I think so.
Right,
yeah.
I thought he came in, but I thought that he came into town and did some big festival or one or two night performance or something, and they were there too or something. I don't know. Maybe that was what I was thinking.
If he came in for an Elvis show, yes, that would have been.
I think
it
was. I think that was. Yeah. All right, cool. Lee, got anything you need to plug before we go?
Careful. No. I think I've plugged it all.
Yeah, you have. On to the board.
Oh, I hate you.
Let's see. Where was that? What's that time signature? Okay. Rocks?
Market.
Go next year.
Go next year. Serve.
I will say one bit of thank you for the guys at T-Shirt Bordello. That's where I got my other T-shirt.
Well, what was your other T-shirt?
Don Myers. I know Don.
Yep.
What was your other T-shirt?
The other T-shirt I got was, "What the hell is an aluminum falcon?"
That's cool.
Fantastic robot chicken line for all of you geeks out there.
It's sort of funny. I went up to Don only because I know Don. Don actually, sometimes he'll stop by our shop because we do some printing for T-Shirt Bordello, and he'll show us the latest artwork
stuff
for the T-shirt.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and he was wondering which one to do, the Mudder's Milk or the Serenity brand green tea, which had the Firefly as a little origami ship. And I told him that one. So I went up there to go buy one, and he was about to go get it, and he's like, "Hey, there's one at your shop." I'm like, "Oh, okay, thanks, Don." He goes, "You're not going to buy anything?" I'm like, "I bought stuff from you the last convention."
I buy stuff from you all the time.
T-Shirt Bordello.
All right. T-Shirt Bordello, that's what you wanted to plug. That was it.
Yeah, there you go.
As usual, I do want to plug the listserv. Check it out, listserv.theuniquegeek.com. That's where we're doing all of our discussion, our online discussion. It's constantly being updated, sometimes with just, interesting links, whatnot. Why we're not doing this on Twitter, I have no idea, but that's what we do. Also, let's see, of course.
Because Serve will not join Twitter.
What's a Twitter?
And of course, it's a teehee.
That's what a gay man does when he laughs, isn't it?
Oh, I think we need to end there.
Yeah. Why the hatred?
No,
why
no.
So much hate in your life?
It's Charles from the St. Pete Geeks. That's what he says when he laughs.
Moving on. Need Coffee. Check out needcoffee.com.
If you want to, at your own risk.
At your own risk. It's not our fault.
And I guess that's it. I don't know if I have anything else. Oh, you can follow me on Twitter at John Boutel, JonBoutelle. You can follow Lee at LeeBC, right?
Correct.
Yep. LeeIGHBC. And Rox.
LeeIGH, yep.
And Rox is Rox of Spaz House without the E. And Rox is spelled ROX, by the way.
And Serve lives in a cave and won't join Twitter.
That's exactly. So until next time.
I got a good deal from Osama.
I would pay money for you to just for someone to make a video of you just sitting there on the bed
the
as Osama gets taken out and you're just eating Cheetos going, oh hey, oh okay.
Dude.
Why so harsh? Anyway, bastard deserved to die anyway. But anyway, so moving on. The views of John are not necessarily the views of everyone else, but pretty much are. Where we got? Okay. Oh, for the rest of the unique geeks. Until next time.
Peace out. What I said.
Bye bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter at @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.